A visit with Julie Wood on March 14th, 2001. Nancy Kuhn and Ruth George are the other parties. We are meeting at Julie's house on Steel Creek Road.
She does every day. She's regular. She brings my paper in the morning. I've never had to go out this winter. Brings my paper. This is on.
Yeah, I just turned it off. That's okay.
But it doesn't make any noise.
Well, until it beeps and says it's done, and then we all scramble.
So anyway, he brings your paper in the morning.
Uh-huh, he brings my mail in the afternoon.
Does he come for dinner?
No.
Heck, you've got everything. You don't even have to cook for it.
So you have coffee with him and lunch with him? And
he has coffee. I don't. He has coffee.
Oh, Joey, when did you all come up here?
55,
okay.
Oh, when did you?
56. Oh. But we were in town for 2 years before we came out here.
Oh.
Yeah. So
we were on base for a year, too.
Okay, so you did come up as
military.
As military.
On LAD? What was your husband doing up there?
He was a Master Sergeant Air Force. He was on MAT, Military Air Transport, McCord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I flew cargoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first 2 years that we were here, that's what he did. And then he got nervous. They were going to transfer him to SAC. He didn't want on flying status anymore.
Meaning Strategic Air Command?
Yeah, SAC. He didn't want him. Mm-hmm. He knew he'd have to go overseas or fly, and he didn't want to fly anymore. So he got out of the Air Force.
Did he retire or quit early?
He quit.
After how many years?
16.
Oh.
Yeah,
so
couldn't
close.
Talk him out of it.
Wow.
He wanted to farm, of all things. So he farmed. Yeah.
Did he ever regret not staying in for 20?
No.
And so how'd you find this piece of property out here? This could not
have been. He worked for Bert Stimple that lived right up here. That big field over there was Bert's, and we bought it from him.
You bought the land or the big field?
The land. Well, the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't buy his house, just the field. And Russ worked for him. He drove tractor and drove potato trucks and that.
So he wanted the farm bad enough that he would go to work for somebody?
And he liked Bert. He got along with Bert real good. You know, Bert was quite a character.
Oh, yes.
So was your husband also in the book that Bert wrote?
Yeah,
that is.
We're trying to find a copy of that.
Well,
book.
I have one, but it's like gold. I'll make sure you get it back.
Well,
I better get it out right now or I'll forget it.
I would love to look at it if you trust us with it, because I understand they're hard to find.
Well, they are hard. I let other people use it, though. You don't take it.
Well, we will try to be responsible.
Maybe it didn't come back the last time.
Well, it better be. I might mark it now.
Good idea. Good idea. Well, we'll have it on tape.
We'll have it on tape. That's right. It'll come up in the...
It's familiar, all right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen that cover.
So did you homestead this piece of property?
No.
No.
We bought this land.
Okay. Who'd you buy it from?
That's Bert with a cigar in his mouth. I wouldn't recognize him if he didn't have a cigar in his mouth.
Not Fitz.
No.
Patrick. Who?
Boris Patrick.
Okay, well, they must be on the map. We'll look at it later. Yeah. Get that.
And how long had they had it? How long had he had it for?
Well, he had bought it, too. Funk's originally homesteaded it.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. I know it. I was surprised when I heard that, too.
Well, because somebody else, Don Herning, said that Funk's homesteaded where Bryce's are now, Maranatha.
Maybe so, I don't know. I remember when it was Maranatha.
No one seems to know when Maranatha showed up out here.
There's a difference between homesteading, which is filing your first papers, and going far enough that they give you the final papers and you have homesteaded.
Yes.
So it's, I think we're getting tangled up in words.
So you could homestead four or five times.
I think you could. As long as you cleared the previous attempt at filing.
Well, yes, but you could homestead without actually proving up and ending up with the property. You could file.
Then you could top file on these people. If they waited so long that there was no way they could meet the requirements, time-wise.
Well, Patrick didn't homestead at all. He worked on base.
How much area do you have?
Well, when we got there, it was 150 acres. 10 acres Patrick sold to that Dr. Johnson, the eye fellow, his father, 10 acres up there above the road. And then we bought from Bird 55 acres.
Which does adjoin then? Oh, does it?
And then during the veteran sales for the state, Russ bought 60 acres and I bought 40 acres.
Oh. So you've got all together 300?
Yeah, it was close to 300
acres. Right, yeah. And how much of that's under cultivation?
Just at 55 acres.
Just a 55.
Were the banks lending money to buy any of this land back then, or was it you had to come up with the money yourself?
It was hard to pay for. Really, people say you have all that land. Gee, it seems like we worked like the devil to get it. Gave up everything, you know, and worked night and day on those potatoes. And it wasn't that easy.
No.
And equipment, usually you had to buy secondhand equipment. You sure couldn't afford new stuff. But then Russ got to the point where if he had one vehicle and it was in good shape, that's all he cared about. So he'd buy a new tractor. And but it was hard to pay for.
Oh yeah.
Did he ever contract out any of his equipment or himself and his equipment?
No. In fact, his boys were pretty old before they were even allowed to drive tractor. He was that way with it.
Well, and it's precious. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where'd you garage it, or where's the shelter for the tractor? Is it down here in the field? Mm-hmm. Or is it this other way?
Usually it's set out. That, like Danny has that little barn over there now. He built that, Danny did. Just to put hay in it. But we had hay, we had contour stripped hay in some strips, and potatoes in the other strips.
Oh, alternating. Yeah. Oh, well, I was going to ask
you. You don't remember that, Ruth?
Not really. No, see, we didn't have occasion to come this way very much. We always stuck to the other road. And by the way, you came in 55. The Hot Springs Road, was it through?
It was dirt, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was dirt. Yeah,
so it was Steese.
Oh, yes, I well know. They were just paving the Steese when we moved out in 58.
Were they?
First time, yeah. But no one so far has been able to tell us exactly when the Hot Springs Road finally connected through, so I asked him.
Well, Steel Creek was done before Hot Springs.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember those earnings telling that, you know, you always came Steel Creek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was nothing but a trail.
Yeah. Well, that's what we understood. So you had hay and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we farmed out here too. I don't know, altogether maybe 30 acres out there. But Russ grew vegetables and sold them in town.
Right. Yeah. It belonged to the co-op then?
The
farmers.
It did.
That was the farmers co-op, or because there was the Matanuska co-op too, wasn't
that,
there?
That's what it was called, Ruth. Was up it, here in Matanuska.
Was it just a single co-op then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, because I was under the impression. Was that their root cellar there that Pete Akin bought? Oh.
And this is the same root cellar where the kid was killed in the fire?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. The Akin boy. Oh, well, I was under the impression there were two co-ops. But it was all Matanuska.
As far as I remember, okay. It was all Matanuska.
Okay.
Now, Henry might tell you different. I don't know.
I'm trying to get a hold of Henry, but he's
probably still gone.
Yeah, that's what Kathy said.
The implication was that one of them, when they were talking about two co-ops, one of them was a dairy co-op. And maybe they handled a little bit of feed.
Well, they had that creamery down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
I considered this all potatoes.
Sure.
You know, down there where Pete Akin got.
And where was that? I don't know where Pete Akin had his.
You know, the bar that had the barbecue on the Steese.
About across from the old Seekins, isn't it?
No.
No.
Across from AC Plywood or whatever that is called.
Oh, okay. Well, where the Akin's nightclub
deal was.
Part of the bar.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's the bar on the west side of the Steese that you have to come off Farmer's Loop and go back to get to.
No.
It's on the east side of the old Steese. We're talking about the old Steese.
Okay, the old Steese.
Do you know where Hands All Round was?
Yes.
Okay, that building right next.
Right
okay.
behind
to them.
Okay, I know where you're talking
that's the area.
I can't think of it. They have wrestling in there sometimes now, and there's Big Daddy's barbecues in there.
Yeah, that's the place. Yeah, well, that's where the root cellar used to be, right in there.
And was it again a building above ground that they moved the earth to cover it, or was it actually in the ground and?
Some of both, wasn't it?
There was dirt around it, but the roof showed, you could see.
Yeah,
them,
but it wasn't
but
real
dirt all around it, just like our root cellar, you know, you kept dirt up in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And it serviced all the farmers in the area?
Yeah, if they wanted to belong to it, and most of them did. Either that or they didn't sell potatoes, if I remember correctly. There was nothing real mean about it, but there were farmers here who didn't agree with other farmers, especially on the prices of potatoes. Russ and Henry always got along good, but there's some of them didn't, and they would cut prices.
Yeah.
And after you worked all that time.
Yeah, apparently there was one year when this was really bad from
it
something
was
that
bad.
Lee Rissy mentioned. Paul Elbert, John Holm, and or Creamer, maybe? I think those were the three he mentioned that
kept prices?
Yeah, well, no, I don't know that they were the ones that were cutting prices, but they were ganging up against the rest of them for some reason. And I suppose prices were at the bottom of it. I'm not even sure.
You ask Henry. I couldn't name the person.
Yeah.
But I'd rather you ask Henry. He'll tell you right off.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sure.
So if you grew hay and potatoes, what else did you grow in the vegetable?
Oh, everything. Celery. We put out so many celery plants and cabbage. We sold a lot of cabbage, and the moose just loved it. And lettuce, radishes. That's about all we sold.
What? How did you care for your celery? I mean, I haven't heard of anybody that's had a lot
we
of celery.
We bought plants.
You bought the plants.
Out
and then
of
did you
Washington.
Cover
yeah.
them up, or how did you bleach them?
Oh, we just planted, we had a machine. We planted a cabbage by machine, too. Bert would help me, and Russ would drive tractor. And you went along, you had the plants on your lap, and you went just like this. Put them in just like they planted tobacco down in the southern states.
Where were you getting your plants from?
Down in Washington.
Air freighted up?
Yeah, but they were fairly cheap. You could have never raised them that way. And we sold all the cabbage that the moose didn't eat.
Just like today.
Yeah, that doesn't change.
One year we grew 12,000 celery plants. We put all of them in and we kept watching them and everything. We went up one night and Russ says, I think we ought to cut that celery tonight. I said, the moose won't get into it. Let's leave it go until tomorrow. It'll be a little bit bigger. We left in it. They ate it. It's just like mowed it right now. All that work. All I could think of the knees Yeah, how terrible they hurt planting that.
Oh, I didn't know they liked celery. We've grown celery.
We found a new thing that works pretty good. They don't like Roman candles.
They don't. Oh, they used to have them over in the field. What did Russ put there? Well, they didn't get any potatoes. What did he? Oh, I don't know. I guess it was some cabbage over there or something. And Russ complained of fish and game. And they suggested putting those, I don't know if they called them Roman candles or not.
Those were cracker shells. They were a 12-gauge shotgun.
Uh-huh.
And when it got out to the end of its range, it would...
Yeah.
If you got real good, you could lob one right underneath the moose's belly and it would make
it jump
just a little bit.
So you never tried an electric fence?
Yeah. Well, electric fence worked. Some of the farmers out in North Pole area had electric fence. It had to be pretty high and pretty expensive, too. My son has electric fence up there because he had cows. And the moose would get in where the cows were and get in the hay and all that. So he had electric fence. But it is expensive. Of course,
if it works, it's probably worth it. But
Howard Jones used to have electric fence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you have any home remedies for dealing with the moose, other than just hoping that they didn't have a hunger?
We had put blood meal all around, and that sort of helped one year. We used a lot of blood meal. And everything that was suggested, but Fish and Game couldn't really come up with anything except an electric fence. And they even went through electric fences, too.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Yeah. We've discovered that the moose can change its mind as it goes through the fence.
Uh-huh.
It intended to eat peas, and it'll go clear across and out the other side without eating anything.
Before he remembers what he came for.
So what do you use now?
You know what a Roman candle is for firecrackers, 4th of July?
Yeah, one of those
shoots a number of balls.
Lobs these flaming ball out. Well, some of the more modern ones, I guess, are made in China now, will lob things out and they'll sparkle and do everything as they're going out there.
Pop.
And they get to the end and they go bang, like that. And the moose don't like that at all. That is...
Will you go out there and light that, or...?
Oh, you can hold it in your hand.
Oh,
yeah.
The things, well, they're this long and they're that big around. And they hold anywhere from 6 to 10 of these fireballs that ignite themselves, and as they burn, the gas that's formed pushes the thing out.
But if your garden's away, you have to go where the garden is to do it. Like you couldn't, from a distance you can't light them, unless it's like from the porch and you want to get them from that's just down here below the porch.
What? You said a garden down here, but I don't even have that. I have a greenhouse. I don't have that anymore either. I just can't. I can't lift a lot.
Yeah.
And I can't walk a long ways. Right. So.
So what kind of hay did you grow?
Brome.
Okay.
Who bought it?
Oh, there was always seemed to be a market for hay. And
well, there was dairying going on then, wasn't there?
Yeah,
and dog beds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Russ, he didn't really kick. We didn't have the equipment for hay. He'd get somebody else, Gadberry. There's a fellow out in North Pole area, Gadberry, did a lot of hay. And he and Russ would work it on, you know, so much on it. He'd come out and do it. Russ cared about the potatoes. That's what he cared about. But Danny's got all of the hay now. Poor kid.
Does he have anything so he can bail now? Or?
Who, Danny?
Yeah.
He's always had bailing.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got all the equipment. Some of it's used equipment. Right. He's got twice as much as his dad ever thought of having. Danny just grinned. I said, there you are, 4 tractors. Your dad got by with 1. He says, yes, we were never allowed to drive them either.
He must be a busy man if he's hauling water and also haying.
Well, he has a fellow working for him. And then during hand time, he's got quite a few people working on tractors and that.
When did you tap the springs here?
They were tapped when we came here. I mean, Danny has a big pump house. He's improved on it up. And we have another spring down here. People came here and got water, and they had big tanks, and they filled them up from this one spring here.
Well, it's obviously a very good spring.
Mm-hmm.
Did that influence the price of the land, that you had these springs on the land?
I don't think so. None of this was subdivided. Not in this area right here where the pump is. Out further subdivided, and then all that up there.
Up on the north?
Uh-huh, up above the road.
Well, now you're talking about your property. You're subdividing, yeah. Right. But at the time you bought it, they didn't expect more because it had good springs on it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If they
well,
didn't.
You would expect
a little bit different back then, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, yes. Except that you look at a lot of places where the water is so bad. Well, and the wells are hundreds of feet down.
Yeah.
A good spring would just be a blessing.
I know several people that had a spring, and all they could think of was, how do we shut the damn thing off?
I see.
Flooding our basement.
You have a water thing here. Is that because the water coming into the house is different than...
Well, after Russ passed away, he would never have a well. And we had problems, well, when he was still living, we had a return line going down to this spring and coming back. And we had a lot of problems with it. And after he passed away, we had, it seemed problems all the time. I said to Danny, I'm going to have a well drilled. Hope for good water. He says, I don't blame you. At least you'd have water. So we had it right up behind the house and only had to go 60 feet.
Oh.
But it was bad water.
Oh. Oh.
So I've got a thing down in the, that you know, to make good water. But when it comes to drinking, I hate it. So Danny, he drinks water here.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing that, you know, so close to that spring, but you didn't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Which just goes to show it's all...
Well, down the other house, of course, we used out of the spring. And we used great potatoes. All the water came from the springs, too.
So did you wash your potatoes?
Oh, yeah.
How did you happen to end up in this area? What directed you out this way?
Russ working for Bert.
Oh, that's right. You said he started with Bert.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes back to Bert. Well, when did Bert land up there, do you know?
He came up by motorcycle, and I think it says on there, Ruth, but
oh,
it,
probably does.
I think it was 39, 40.
Depression. Yeah.
Well, he was in the CCC camp for a while, and he and a fella came up, and they went out on Farmers Loop Road.
Hmm.
And he met Leah at church on Noble Street. She was so bashful, I can't imagine, you know, even talking.
How it happened. He was such an outgoing, he was such an outgoing guy. Oh, geez. I wonder if he was in the CC camp down at...
in California.
In California. Because there was one in McKinley.
Mm.
Because Beatrice Herning's father was the director or whatever they called.
Oh.
A little bit of information that I had never heard.
Is that how she met her husband?
Mm-hmm, that's how she met her husband.
I'm thinking about it, because he mined down there.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, he was working for the Park Service at the time, I think.
And they wanted to put him in uniform.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's when he quit.
No, there were a couple other steps in there because he was with Fish and Wildlife or somebody when he quit because he wasn't cut out to be an official or whatever it was, however Beatrice put it. And, that would be, that's how they met. She was just in high school visiting for the summer. So...
Well, when you and your husband came to Alaska, you were the first year you were here at LAD. He must have had an opportunity to go other places. I mean, he was a master sergeant, so he could kind of have his pick and choose.
He flew up from McCord Air Force Base down in Washington. He wasn't on flying status, but he was a mechanic, and they'd fly him up, and he'd come up here, work on the plane, and then head back. It wasn't a big outfit out here at Ladd like some of the others. It was cargo, you know, mm-hmm. bringing cargo. And he had an they had an opening up here. They wanted him to be in charge of mechanics, and he was all for it. And he came up for a while, and he says he bought a place up here. He put down payment on a place out off of Badger Road. And we made plans. We went back east to see our folks, and then we came back. And we went to that place, and it was springtime. It was May. And a slough had come between the house and the back house. It had a back house. He told me that, and that was fine. But there was a slough. You couldn't even get out to the back. And what was that? Myers Real Estate. Russ bought it from him. And we headed to him. He gave us the money back. So we went looking at just for signs. And on Badger Road, we found another place. And the fellow wanted $1,000 down. And I told him, I said, we don't have that. He was painting it. He says, anyhow, I have to finish the painting it. And I said, well, we'll finish the painting. We've got $800. We'll give you that, though, on it. He said, okay. He was a GI. So that's how we got our place out there. But we fixed it all up and sold it 2 years after that, moved on base.
So at that time, you were getting military quarters allowance to help you.
Yeah.
That's a good way to have it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then moved on base for a year. Mm-hmm. Is any of that housing still in town where you lived your first year on base?
Oh, yeah. You mean on base?
Yeah. Is any of that housing
mm-hmm.
still there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
sure
where it is?
Yep, sure do. Went out there this winter. My son said, you want to ride out in base? And I said, I bet it's a year since I've been out there. And we were talking about we lived here. I remember when I was a kid living here, one section of base and over in the other section.
Was it over there at the far end of the runway by BLM?
Yeah.
Way
back there.
Way in the back.
Yeah, when we first moved out there. And then later on we lived out towards Main Gate. Mm-hmm.
How old were your kids when you came up?
Well, Russ was 3.
That's right, Russ and Tom are about of an age, aren't they?
Russ was 4,
yeah.
I think. And Danny was a year old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because Russ was in such a hurry to get here, he figured he'd be late. And gosh, we were up here way ahead of time. Poor Danny had diaper rash so bad, and I said, never again, never will I ride without taking real good care of this kid, just because you have to get up there.
So you drove up the Alcan?
Uh-huh.
Would the military have brought you both up here since it was a permanent change of station?
Well, I guess, but we had a new car. He just drove it.
You wanted to see the country.
Yeah,
right.
How long did it take you to get here?
I think it was 5 or 6 days, about 6 days coming up.
True pioneers.
On that road, I would...
It was altogether different than it is now.
Oh, yes. Now it's a superhighway.
Yeah.
So, 55. And so, okay, Russ would have gone and started school from out here. Or were you, let's see, were you out here in 55 or you came up to Fairbanks?
No, we came out here in 59.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
he went to school on base first.
Yeah, he would have. But Carl must have been driving bus up through here by the time
yeah.
you moved out
uh-huh.
here.
He and Charlie Ward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure out how I knew who Russ was. Because there was this sergeant there. And I can't for the life of me. Had to be around 58 when we moved out here.
Well, he worked for Bert, Al. If you were around Bert.
I knew who Bert was, but mainly because he had contact through the university end of it. And I was over in geophysics, which had nothing to do with any of that. I can't get anything to drop in the slot.
You didn't have much to do with Lad when we were first here, did you?
Well, we had...
Was Aeromed operating then?
We had that contract with Aeromed Labs.
I was trying to think if there could have been any connection while he was still in the Air Force.
No, not that I can get anything that fits. Aeromed was full of master sergeants, probably.
But probably not mechanics.
I'm not so sure that some of them weren't even janitors.
Did he ever consider at any time in the farming, when farming was tough, to maybe go into plane mechanics for civilians around here?
Yeah, he did a couple of times. Every year it wasn't real good. There were bad years. And one year it was so cold that a lot of the potatoes froze. There's no way you could keep them in that root cellar. And we weren't the only ones. Everybody was in the same boat. And I went to work. Went to work for BLM, but I only worked a year, and then Becky came along. But he thought about it, going for the... But it didn't work out that way. So I'm just glad he didn't, Then he became a carpenter, and he liked being a carpenter.
Did he build commercial houses?
Worked for Gilmore Tracking Station up here.
Okay.
10 years he worked up there.
Well, as Cora said, nobody could afford to just farm. Everybody had to have a job to support the farm. And
geophysics had the contract with NASA to build that 85-foot dish.
Mm-hmm.
And Filio, who had done the other work for us, was the design architect.
Big pipe. The
pipe. Oh, in the 70s. The 60s.
Yeah. 70s. He worked up north on the pipeline as a carpenter.
Okay.
Before he went up to Gilmore.
So he farmed for quite some time before he became a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it his best.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was being a carpenter, you were being the farmer?
No. No, I just had a little garden. No, Danny, Danny was a pipeline too. I guess we left the field to somebody else, like Gadberry. I really can't remember what we did with the field. I don't know. We hadn't subdivided this out here yet, though. We did that after pipeline.
So
but all this was here.
So how many years were you actually more or less subsisting on the farming, on just farming?
Well, it was from 59 to... till pipeline.
Okay, so roughly early 70s.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's saying a lot that you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you build your own house here, this one we're in?
He built downstairs, and he wasn't feeling well, and a friend of ours built the rest of it. Oh, Russ worked on some of it, but he built the downstairs. We lived in the downstairs for a while, for several years.
Yes, as most of us have done one time or another. Yep.
Cora said if you're going to a farm, you've got to have a job to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. They all say that. But it's so many people like farming, Russ was raised on a farm when he was a kid, and he liked it.
Where from? You said you went back east.
Pennsylvania.
Oh. Well, the military did move people around.
Oh, they moved us up here. Even potty chairs or anything like that.
And where did you come from?
Pennsylvania.
You're also a Pennsylvania girl.
Uh-huh.
And were you raised on a farm?
No.
City girl?
No, a little town.
What little town was it?
Emporium. You've never heard of it.
What part of the state?
Western, northwestern part.
No, I don't know.
It's up in the mountains. And then I met Russ. We both worked for Sylvania Corporation. You've heard of that.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah. We both worked for it.
Well, maybe we ought to take a look at the map and see what that... I asked you about Fitz. You didn't know the Fitzes? They were maybe gone before.
No, but I heard so much about them.
Yeah. I gather they didn't hang around too long after this map. Well, let's turn it around so... Oh, you want it to the north. Well, then maybe you want to get around by Nancy there.
Why don't I trade with you?
Okay. That is the worst chair to this.
Well, slide right off. Ashley, you can't really see this map sitting down anyway. So.
Well, that's all right.
Which end of the map are...
Over here, where we're interested.
Okay, so
this is the whole school district map. Goes clear over to Esther.
Yes.
But of course, we're all over in
here.
I'll
come over there.
So
come over there.
I think you want to be over there.
Let's see. Is this light maybe?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Here comes the Stees out of town. Here is Steel Creek coming off here.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's Patrick Creek. You bought this from who?
The Impact.
Where's Patrick?
This is the school section up here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where we bought.
Okay. So that was, I guess that is a, would be almost 160, wouldn't it? Except for the 10 acres that you said had been
sold.
Yes,
10 acres.
Right.
And then when they had the veteran sale, they took that land out of here.
Out of the school?
40, yeah, out of the school. 40 and 60. And then...
And so you acquired some of that?
Mm-hmm.
The 60 and the 40 came out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of nice to be able to pick up land contiguous with yours across the road there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and yet the road comes right through your property.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are subdivisions up on the other side of the road where we came in and out that way.
But you can't farm the road.
It's true, yeah. Do you have any idea who Steel Creek was named for?
Well, that creek over there, I guess.
Well, yeah, but who named Steel Creek?
Who was Steel?
Who was Steel? Nobody knows. It was
some old miner, I suppose.
I suppose. What about?
I still think he was an engineer and was probably military.
Maybe
that's possible.
I don't know.
What about Bennett? Do you know anything about him?
Except Russell loved to go up there and sit and talk to him. Mom, he's the most interesting man there is. He tells me stories.
Huh.
I think at one time, I might be wrong, he was a pilot years before that. He had a little cabin up there where, what's that doctor's name? The oncologist.
I'm picturing a face that I can't come up with the name.
Well, Bert didn't have a very big piece of land here. When it says, here's Bert, and then
more.
And here's Patrick.
Well, and see Leah.
Yeah.
Why Kay.
There's the farm ground here.
Yeah. But he bought Fitz's, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had this whole square.
Yeah.
Was this.
Yeah.
So it says R.J.
That's
Fitz.
Doc Fitz.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So 3/4.
Yeah. What was Leah's name that they... Why does that say K, or do you know? Isn't that a K simple? And, of course, that could be a mistake.
Ooh, there are some mistakes on here.
I don't know what the K was.
Okay, maybe nothing.
Are you guys intimating that Bert Stemple owned this and another Stemple owned this land
here? He did. And then he ended up owning some of this, too. And Henry got it from him.
Gettinger.
Mm-hmm. That's where all those houses are over there.
Oh, yeah, up on the hill there.
Oh, yes, Rainbow, something up
there. And then here. Another question that we've wondered. Well, it comes into when Hot Springs Road came through, because Cora was talking about the road here. Here's the Hot Springs Road, here's Steel Creek coming in. And that there was a trail back over as far as Louds, which here's Louds. But no, you couldn't go any farther than that.
Oh, I don't know, Ruth.
No, you were here too late, just like we were. But we'll see when Henry knows.
Oh, Henry'll know. He can tell.
Yeah. So is George Love also a farmer?
No. He owned all that land coming up
the
hill. Brick
Hill. Yeah.
So this is the igloos run along off of Love's Road?
Right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's Steel Creek coming into Hot Springs, so they would be right in here.
Mm-hmm. When did those igloos come in there?
Well, they weren't there when you first came, were they?
Yes.
Were they?
Yes.
They've been there that long, in 80?
Uh-huh. Because they were used at that time, and their mailbox was across the street. Mm-hmm. There was a blue box.
Boy, I had no idea they'd been there that long.
And yet the igloos would have been indicative of the hippies. I mean, the geodesic domes would have to be in the 60s, 70s.
I haven't mentioned them any place in my diaries up to 69. So
you know anything about the group that settled in there?
No, Ring of Fire or whatever they called it. Right. Okay, who else? Do you know anything about the Kivlins?
Not really.
Probably not, because they were over on the other road.
Yeah. And Henry has.
Yeah, he's taken quite a bit of that property down there.
Yeah.
See, here's John Holmes, where Henry is now.
And Kivlin's Henry has, and some of it's in field.
You need to remember that this map is dated 53.
True.
So anything that happened after 53 will not appear.
Yes.
I see here on your land, VM Patrick, that we have this creek that goes through.
It's Columbia Creek. It's over there, and it's over there.
So it's the same on each side?
That's right. It gets down in here. It goes together.
And is that part of your springs?
No, but if there was any water left over, it would run into Columbia Creek.
Yeah, it would be feeding it. Columbia Creek, huh? How about that?
Well, were any of those people other than Bert here when you moved in? Are there any of those other names familiar there? Bennett, you said, was still here.
It's Harry Sherman.
And I think that's what Ann Sherman's husband's name was, if I'm right.
I don't remember any.
There's another Sherman, C.A. Sherman.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask Ann what her first name is, maybe.
Was that Clyde Sherman?
Oh, no, I bet that it could be Clyde Sherman. I had forgotten all about him. Yeah, now Clyde is, as far as I know, not related to Annie. But I could be wrong about that.
So who did your children play with? What families did your children play with?
Well, let's see, right around here, there really wasn't any. There was Russ with a boy on Bennett Road. Oh, Marion Thomas.
Mike Simpleman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike Simpleman, Willie LaWapa.
Oh, where were LaWapas? Well,
they were on Gilmore Trail.
On Gilmore.
Well, right at Willie's
yard. Willie was still living there the last time.
He lived.
Not very far up.
He lived. Ruth, you go on the other side, Hagelberger, and go on the old Steve, and then you can come back to his place.
Oh, well,
it's
that's
up
not
towards Gilmore Trail.
Okay, well, that's not the place I was thinking of. I don't know whether he's moved or I was
wrong
in the first place.
No, I think I'm telling you wrong there. Right now, I think that was wrong. He goes up Gilmore Trail and goes down there. There's a road up there. I don't know the name of it, to his place.
Someday I'm going to call him up and ask him. I haven't seen Willie for a while.
I saw him the other day.
Huh. Well, you remember the kids were in 4-H together. Willie and Russ and Tom and Mike, I'm pretty sure, because I've mentioned in some of my diaries of the kids.
That's trouble if I ever heard it. Why?
I remember Tom being upset because he wanted so badly to be president of the club and they wouldn't let him. I think he pushed too hard. And I can't remember, I think Russ was the one that got elected that year.
Russ raised the potatoes. He, you know, and took them in. Always got prizes out of his own garden. I don't remember what Nanny did. I don't remember. Becky, she learned to sew in 4-H.
Oh, yeah, that was what most of the girls
were. Because her mother wasn't good enough. So I sent her to 4-H. And in school, from Maddie Herning, she learned.
Mm-hmm.
She's a top sewer.
Yeah.
Did she learn to cook from you?
No. She cleaned house. That was her job. Her dad told her that she didn't have to do dishes and all this stuff, but on weekends, she had to do the washing, all of our washing, and she knew she had to do it, too. No, she didn't.
How much younger is Becky than Danny?
Oh, Becky is, I have to figure this out. She's born in 61.
Okay,
so,
well,
she's 38.
She's 10 right? years younger than Russ, about.
Yeah. 11 years younger.
11?
Okay. 7 years younger than Danny.
Okay. Because by the time she was old enough for 4-H, we were out of it. So
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recognize her if I saw her, I'm afraid.
You wouldn't know Becky?
Well, maybe a picture would look familiar, but it's been so many years.
She lives up a little bit there in the subdivision.
Oh, does she?
She go up this road, past Budwood. There's the first house below the road. It's a beautiful home.
Now it makes sense why it's labeled Spudwood. You know, I've driven this road so many times.
Rhett did that.
But it would be with the potatoes, with all the woods. And we used to talk about this because my children had friends up here on Steel Creek. And
well, he named it Spudwood. He wanted to call it Woodpecker. And I said, no way. Pick a different name. So we went with Spudwood.
That was a compromise, huh? Jeez. Yeah, there are too many kids right around this.
Well,
there weren't at that time around here. Bert didn't have any.
No.
So did you think this was a good place to raise your children?
Yeah, I did. Rhett, the oldest boy, was the one that liked trapping and dogs and being outdoors in the wintertime.
So did he trap here on your property or
yes,
somewhere else?
Yes, he did, up in that part up there.
On the north side of the road.
Uh-huh. And
what did he trap?
At that time we had lynx around here. I remember him bringing a lynx home.
Fox.
Huh?
He must have caught a fox.
Oh, yeah, probably fox. We had a pond down there, still down there, and the kids would go down there and monkey around getting frogs in the springtime. And then they, with their dad, they built a little boat to go in and tipped over. All of them, even Russ. What's that, swimmer's itch?
Oh,
I never seen people take baths so much.
Oh,
terrible.
And you not having a well. And taking all those baths.
They had plenty of spring water.
Yeah.
But as Mattie Lee said, those beautiful golden sheets. They must be very rich.
I hope when we've got enough of these that we can circulate all these stories around with everyone that's been involved at least, because I'm sure you would enjoy everybody else's stories.
So how did you heat out here?
Well, we lived down there at the root cellar part for a long time until this house was built. Down there we had an old big cook stove, which
mm-hmm.
old army cook
mm-hmm.
stove, and we used it to heat and to cook on. But I wasn't very good when we moved out at building a fire.
This
and
is
I
a wood
right
stove
yeah.
or a coal?
Well, we used wood.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Russ saying when he left in the morning, I would sit next to the stove. When he came home at night, I was still sitting there.
Trying to
I hated that thing. Oh, I hated that.
How long did you live with it?
I don't know. We got a furnace. Russ put a furnace in there.
Unfortunately, the things were so damn well built, they just almost lasted forever.
Oh, I'm sure it could be sitting out in the field right now, right?
No, I'll tell you who bought it. Jane Bushy, Marvin Bushy bought it from years and years ago. I don't know what he ever did with it. Is he still living?
I don't think so, but you know, I wish I would put these obituaries when we see him, because I can never remember later.
I can't remember, you know, whether he is or not.
Well, I can't either, but I kind of think he's gone. Of course, the boy is gone.
And Jane's gone.
Oh, yeah, Jane's been gone. That was such a sad.
I just seen her name on
there. Yeah, in fact, that was kind of interesting. We were looking. Where are they? Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah. I didn't know her, didn't remember her name was Rasmussen, and maybe it wasn't by the time I knew her. Is that Jane Reno and Ruby Rasmussen?
Mm-hmm.
Was Jane's name Reno at that time?
She was married several times. I don't know, though.
Hmm. But anyway, that ended up their property eventually. Boy, the people that tried to dairy up here, a dairy is hard work anywhere.
Yeah.
And up here it must have been even harder. And there were a number of them.
Young Russ and I came by here the other night.
Mm-hmm.
We went Chena Heights. We very seldom do that. And I looked over and I said, do you remember when they had picnics and parties there? He says, no. They said, well, they did.
Oh, yeah. Was...
They had picnics for different ones.
Mm-hmm. You know, different organizations and things.
Uh-huh.
In fact, not too long ago, that was still. And did you see the article in the paper here a few years ago by the Rainier daughter about this?
Oh, yeah.
About this?
Yeah. You're talking about the Rainbow Trailer Court?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, not the trailer court, on beyond. In fact, that new house right on the corner of Hot Springs Road, and I think it isn't Golden Birch. But right in there, as you're starting up the hill, is her house.
Mm.
So I was told. That's what Carl was saying.
The wood sloping.
Yeah,
up.
The one that has the roof that slopes down so far on the front.
Oh, like an A-frame in the front?
Almost. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she married one of the Smiths.
Yeah,
married one of the what?
Smiths. S-Z-M-Y-D that lives out there by Cora on Estro, back on Estro.
Well, you know, if they took some of this land from the school, and then we end up, let's see, where's Weller School?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not on school land then, right?
Exactly.
Most of the schools are not on school land.
Weller would be up in here. See, here's Rainier's, here's Rainbow Valley.
The idea of school land was to earn income for the schools, not for the schools to use the land. And that's where all the confusion gets started.
Well, you wonder now, when some of this went to veteran preference, or whatever you called it, did the government pay the school? Did the government buy that land?
I'm sure they didn't, because...
I bet they didn't either.
The same act that started the University of Alaska started the school sections in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And the mistake that was made, the university set a permanent fund file up, and it all went there that they earned. The schools never set up a file. And so here we are with the people trying to untangle the school sections and put the money someplace where it belongs. 20 years after statehood.
See, all the section 16 through school section.
Well,
yeah.
So then is this still, or has this land been this one here to the west?
Septified.
So it's now all the school land has been sold out of this.
Or something's happened to it anyway. This must be Gilmore coming up here, isn't it? Yeah. See, here's Steel Creek. And here's the Stee, so this has to be Gilmore. Mm-hmm. That's pretty side hilling right
well,
there.
Well, Henry owned
the
subdivision up there. A lot of that was Henry.
Hmm. Henry owned things I never heard of.
Did he also get veteran preference?
Mm-hmm.
What were the requirements or the what were you allowed on that? How did it work?
Well, with that. You could each have a section of land or a Henry.
Okay, that's
got
that answers part.
Yeah.
A section of land was what the maximum you were allowed?
I can't tell you. I don't remember that. Henry will be able to tell you.
A big chunk of it.
The rest got 60 acres, and I got 40 acres.
Okay. So there was a provision in there for spouses of...
Well, I was in service, too.
Oh, you were in the service.
So, we both got it.
And how long were you in the service?
3 years.
Were you a WAF?
No, SPAR.
What is that?
The Coast Guard, right?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Coast Guard.
Yeah.
The Coast Guard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, in Pennsylvania, there's not a Coast Guard, surely. So it must have been in Alaska you were stationed? Or where were you stationed?
I was stationed in Pennsylvania and Florida.
Pennsylvania.
In Florida. And I signed up for Hawaii, to go to Hawaii. And my mother broke her back, and I had to go home emergency. And they said, well, you can go to Alaska. And I didn't want to come up here then. I should have.
What year would that have been?
43.
And you wanted to go to Hawaii, huh? It's a good thing you didn't go to Hawaii.
You might have liked it.
Well, the war would have been active in Hawaii area.
So, yeah, in 42.
And so what was your job in the
coast? Storekeeper. Just the Navy. It's purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. I liked it.
So when were you and Russ married?
47.
47, after the war. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he stayed in.
No. He got out. He got out in 45.
Mm-hmm.
I got out in 46. We got married in 47. But he stayed in reserves, and he was called back in 50.
Oh, yeah.
The year Russie was born.
Korean War.
Well, he went to Japan.
Yeah.
Went out in the West.
But that's what called it.
And then went
him.
To Japan. Yeah.
Hmm. So you were a spar. I've run into a few whacks and waves, but I don't think I've ever run into an ex-spar.
There wasn't that many of them.
No, there wasn't more.
Huh. Was this a patriotic act on your part that you joined the spar?
I wanted to go to architect school, and I worked for Savannah. And I figured I'd save my money and go, and my folks couldn't send me. But you know how it is, saving money. You gotta have clothes, you gotta have this, you gotta have that. So I thought, I don't want to stay in this little town. Do something, so I'll sign up in service.
And you make a little extra money, and then when you get out, then you go to architect school. But
no,
then,
I didn't.
But you
got married.
And you never, that's gonna say. And then along came, and that was the end of the story, huh?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever pursued that? Did you help design
your
house?
Did you plan your house?
No.
Well, sort of. Halfway.
Yeah, but you had some say in it.
Yeah, this is not the typical Alaskan house.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Nancy, what is a typical Alaskan house?
Well, it was small rooms, little windows.
Those are early houses, yeah.
So what year was this upstairs constructed?
76, I guess.
Pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Right after Pipeline.
Right. That's when there was the money to do it, finally. Finally.
You people know Ed Kosalik?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because I think Ed had been in the pipeline. Yeah, I know he was a carpenter.
Oh, before he came to the Institute?
Yeah, he came to geophysics, and his wrists were bothering him from swinging a hammer so much, and he wanted out of the carpenter business. All we had was a carpenter job, but when he saw what a carpenter did for the university, why, that was no problem. So he must have been there, 10 years?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he would have been right.
Well, Brett liked it up at Gilmore. He did. He was the only carpenter, and he didn't have to work real hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when he got sick. He got disabled.
Is he the one who made all your whirligigs?
No. My kids buy me everything. Yeah, when you get older, you have junk. I don't know where to put it. And I tell them, don't dare buy me anything. I don't need anything.
I notice this at Christmas time, too, where you acquire these things that you've got to figure out what to do with.
Yeah. And if they don't see it, then they're mad. But when the lights went off last night, I couldn't find nothing.
No candles?
Well, I had candles. It was just getting at them. I was sitting in this chair, and it was so black in here. And I thought, I know where there's a flashlight next to my bed.
But where's my bed?
Well, we went down and bought 7 or 8 of these little two-battery things and stashed them. I think we're supposed to have one in every coat jack. And one by every bed.
And there are a few others around. They're all over the house, if you just can remember where.
I managed to find the flashlight. It was down at the head of my bed, and I was just coming out, and Rusty lives downstairs, and he came. Are you all right, Mom? And I said, yes, I just got the flashlight. He said, I just got mine, too. And I said, where was he? He said, out in the car.
Now, what time did the lights go off? Because I didn't have the lights go off that I know of. But
didn't you have yours?
Yeah, I think it was last night, but they weren't off for, 5 minutes?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Short time. Maybe you blinked.
I don't know. It's amazing.
What time? You were watching television. What program were you watching?
Do I have to be awake?
It was after supper. Fairly early, I think, in the evening.
Oh, maybe if it was early in the evening and you needed a flashlight, because I was going to say, I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night, I actually cooked dinner. And
in fact, I was sitting at the computer.
Boy, did it go bang.
Oh, it goes ding, ding, ding.
That happened to me when it went off there last week or something. Gee.
Goes on forever.
Scared.
So you're computer literate?
Not really. I love it, though. I bought a computer a year ago. No, I've had a year and a half. And the boys buy me for Christmas the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They go together and buy me the internet. And I just love it.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing genealogy on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't keep any of my records on it. It's a good thing because I goof up sometimes.
Boy, isn't that easy.
Well, if I can ask, how old are you that you have just recently bought a computer? I'm impressed.
78.
And so when you were 77, you bought your first computer.
Mm-hmm. And well, just had the kids show me. I never went to class. I didn't ask about it. But I
went to
did.
One, but I didn't learn anything and that I didn't already know.
Well, the
She's
boys.
Learned a couple of new words.
Yes, I've learned several new words.
I hate that one that power goes off, it goes bang.
Mine doesn't make a big noise, but it makes it beeps.
Our doorbell is set up so that when the power goes off, there's a loud bang.
It sounds like somebody rings the doorbell.
Yeah.
And the
and
dog
you go
gets
to get up and the place is dark, and you're trying to figure out, well, did I hear something or didn't I hear something?
No, I love the computer. I really do. Spend so much of every day. News, get the weather on it. Of course, I got all that on TV. It's just the idea of doing it, I guess.
Oh, and of course, you say you're doing genealogy.
And the games.
Yeah.
I love the games. They give me Jeopardy and that. I get on Jeopardy and play it.
Here's something else I found.
You found it?
1949 and 1999.
Ruth has funny games.
Somebody gave me this.
This one? The 1999 aerial?
No, it was the 2000, I think. Anyhow, you can...
Yeah, you need to...
Where have I got it? You could see our fields. Because you can see the houses.
Oh, this one doesn't go that far out.
What do you use this one?
This one's 99. And this one's 49.
This